I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now.
Paramount Deal is supported by Jared Kushner, Mr. President. Would that impact your decision?
If Paramount is? I don't know. I've never spoken to him.
With financial backing from President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, and sovereign funds from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Abu Dhabi, Paramount's launched a hostile takeover bid for Warner Brothers Discovery just days after losing out to Netflix in a bidding war for the company. We'll look at the competing deals that could reshape the film industry and media landscape. Then outcry is growing after the Trump administration drops free admission at national parks on the only two federal holidays honoring Black history, Juneteenth and Martin Luther King Day. Instead, the parks will be free on Donald Trump's birthday. Then to the case of Mumia Abu-Jamal, the imprisoned journalist and former Black Panther who's been jailed for 44 years.
I have been, for all intents and purposes, unable to read, unable to write, unable to see anything more than the masthead of a newspaper and not even its headlines. Blurry television, bursts of color. The television is my radio now.
Supporters of Mumia Abu-Jamal have marched over 100 miles, ending at his prison today, to urge the state of Pennsylvania to provide him with medical care needed to prevent him from permanently losing his vision. We'll speak with one of the march organizers and one of Mumia Abu-Jamal's attorneys. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's military chief has told soldiers occupying the Gaza Strip that the yellow line dividing the Palestinian territory under President Trump's ceasefire plan will become a new border for Israel. The comments by Lieutenant General Eyal Zamir come despite a provision in the October ceasefire deal stating that, quote, Israel will not occupy or annex Gaza, unquote. Such a move would give Israel control of more than half of Gaza's territory, including farmland and the Rafah border crossing with Egypt. Meanwhile, a new report by Reporters Without Borders finds Israel's killed more journalists in 2025 than any other country for the third year running. The report found Israel's military liable for the deaths of 29 Palestinian journalists among 67 journalists killed around the world this year. In occupied East Jerusalem, the United Nations has condemned a raid by Israeli forces on the headquarters of the UN's Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, known as UNRWA. A spokesperson for the UN Secretary General said the raid directly violates international law.
Police motorcycles, as well as trucks and forklifts, were brought in, and all communications were cut. Furniture, IT equipment, and other property was seized, and the UN flag was pulled down and replaced by the Israeli flag. This compound remains United Nations premises and is inviolable and immune from any other form of interference.
The U.S. Supreme Court signaled Monday it's prepared to make it easier for President Trump to fire independent government officials despite laws barring the president from removing them without cause. On Monday, the court heard oral arguments in the case of Federal Trade Commission member Rebecca Kelly Slaughter, who was fired by the White House in March. The court's right-wing majority cast doubt on a 90-year-old precedent known as Humphrey's Executor, which grants a president the power to fire a board member only for, quote, inefficiency, neglect of duty, or malfeasance in office, unquote. Liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor warned that move would, quote, destroy the structure of government, unquote. while Justice Elena Kagan warned it would grant the president near unlimited power.
So the result of what you want is that the president is going to have massive, unchecked, uncontrolled power, not only to do traditional execution, but to make law through legislative and adjudicative frameworks.
A ruling in the Supreme Court case is expected by June. Until then, the court has allowed the White House's firing of Rebecca Kelly Slaughter and other commissioners to remain in effect. President Trump has walked back his remarks last week when asked if he would release video showing a series of strikes on an alleged drug boat in the Caribbean on September 2nd. Previously, Trump said he had, quote, no problem releasing the footage. But speaking to reporters Monday, Trump defended Defense Secretary Hegseth while insulting ABC's Rachel Scott, who pressed him on whether he would release the full video.
Admitted to releasing the full video?
Didn't I just tell you that?
You said that it was up to Secretary Hegseth.
You're the most obnoxious reporter in the whole place. Let me just tell you, you are an obnoxious, a terrible reporter. And it's always the same thing with you. I told you, whatever Pete Hegseth wants to do is okay with me.
Recently, President Trump called CBS's Nancy Korda stupid, Katie Rogers from The New York Times ugly. And when Catherine Lucy of Bloomberg News asked him about releasing the Epstein files, Trump told her, quiet, piggy. Despite claiming to target alleged drug boats in the Pacific and the Caribbean, President Trump has used his power to pardon about 100 people accused of drug-related crimes. That's according to a Washington Post analysis. Just last week, Trump pardoned former Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez, who was sentenced to 45 years in prison for conspiring to distribute more than 400 tons of cocaine in the United States. On Monday night, the Honduran Attorney General announced he'd instructed his government and Interpol to arrest Hernandez. Meanwhile, a 2016 video unearthed by CNN of Defense Secretary Hegseth shows him repeatedly warning the U.S. military should refuse unlawful orders.
If you're doing something that is just completely unlawful and ruthless, then there is a consequence for that. That's why the military said it won't follow unlawful orders from their commander in chief.
Republican lawmakers have unveiled a bill to authorize $901 billion in military spending for the next fiscal year. House Speaker Mike Johnson says the National Defense Authorization Act would, quote, ensure our military forces remain the most lethal in the world, unquote. In a statement, Public Citizen's Robert Weissman responded, quote, the last person who should be entrusted with an even bigger budget is the dangerous and lawless Pete Hegseth. As Hegseth illegally targets civilian boats near Venezuela with expensive Hellfire missiles, wastefully and recklessly deploys the National Guard in cities around the country, and teases an unconstitutional and costly war, Congress should refuse to add a penny to his budget, unquote. Meanwhile, lawmakers have attached a provision to the NDAA that would withhold money from Hegseth's travel budget if the Pentagon refuses to hand over video of the September 2nd boat strike. President Trump's announced a $12 billion aid package to farmers struggling from the devastating effects of his tariffs. Farm bankruptcies rose by nearly 50% this year compared to last. President Trump's tariffs on China cut its imports of U.S. soybeans to zero before a deal was reached in October. Democratic Senator Ron Wyden of Oregon criticized the bailout for farmers, saying, quote, instead of proposing government handouts, Donald Trump should end his destructive tariff spree so American farmers can compete and win on a level playing field, he said. In Minnesota, students and staff at Augsburg University in Minneapolis say federal immigration agents pointed guns at a crowd that gathered to protest the arrest of an undergraduate student Saturday. In a statement, the university wrote that the ICE agents lacked a signed judicial warrant, which is required for them to enter private buildings. It was just one of several reports of ICE agents physically threatening and wrongfully detaining people swept up in what ICE is calling Operation Metro Surge, targeting Minnesota's Somali community, which President Trump has described in a racist tirade as garbage. In Washington state, Democratic Senator Patty Murray is condemning an incident where ICE agents released an attack dog on one of her constituents last month in Vancouver. According to Senator Murray, Wilmer Toledo Martinez suffered horrific injuries after an ICE agent lured him out of his home before violently arresting him. His neighbor, John Williams Sr., witnessed the attack. He spoke to TV station KGW.
This wife screaming, the kids in the car screaming. And I'm glad his 7-year-old daughter wasn't here. The 2- and 3-year-old was here. And we were trying to ask what's going on. And he's telling her to get back, or we're going to stick the dog on you. I never saw nothing like this in my life, close up with no one. You know, and it hurts. It really hurts, man. Especially happening to a young man like that, man. You know, a good, honest young man.
Toledo Martinez was hospitalized, received stitches for gruesome injuries. His attorney says ICE delayed his medical care for several hours and that a prescription for antibiotics was never filled by staff at the Northwest ICE Processing Center in Tacoma, where he's been held since his arrest. In a statement, Senator Murray said, quote, "This should shock the conscience of every one of us. I do not want to live in an America where federal agents can sic attack dogs on peaceful residents with impunity and face no consequences," the senator said. California's Department of Justice has announced a new online portal for members of the public to share videos, photos, and other evidence documenting unlawful activity by ICE agents. This follows similar efforts in other states, including Illinois and New York. Meanwhile, the maker of the smartphone app IceBlock has sued the Trump administration on First Amendment grounds after the Justice Department pressured Apple to remove its software from its app store. Before Apple banned the software in October, IceBlock allowed users to anonymously track reported sightings of ICE agents. A dozen former FBI agents filed a lawsuit accusing FBI Director Kash Patel and other officials of unlawfully firing them for kneeling during a 2020 protest after the death of George Floyd. The lawsuit claims the agents knelt to, quote, "diffuse a volatile situation, not as an expressive political act," unquote. Meanwhile, Patel reportedly yelled at agents on the security detail for his girlfriend to drive her allegedly drunk friend home. This comes as a leaked report compiled by retired and active duty FBI special agents and analysts called the agency under Patel a, quote, "rudderless ship and chronically underperforming." Paramount Skydance has launched a nearly $78 billion hostile takeover offer for Warner Brothers Discovery just days after Warner Brothers accepted a $72 billion deal from Netflix. Paramount said it's secured funding commitments from the sovereign wealth funds of Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, and Qatar, along with support from Affinity Partners, the private equity firm run by Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law. President Trump reportedly favors Paramount to acquire Warner Brothers Discovery and remarked over the weekend he'll intervene in the federal review process of Netflix's proposed deal. We'll have more on this story after headlines. President Trump's accused his political enemies, including Federal Reserve Governor Lisa Cook, of mortgage fraud for claiming more than one primary residence on her loans. Now a ProPublica investigation finds President Trump himself did the same thing in the 1990s when he took out two Florida mortgages and claimed each home would be his main residence. According to ProPublica, President Trump never lived in the two Florida houses and instead used them as rental properties. Kathleen Engel, a Suffolk University law professor and leading expert on mortgage finance, told ProPublica, quote, "Given Trump's position on situations like this, he's going to either need to fire himself or refer himself to the Department of Justice. Trump has deemed that this type of misrepresentation is sufficient to preclude someone from serving the country," unquote. Fighting between Thailand and Cambodia has erupted again after Thailand launched airstrikes Monday along its disputed border with Cambodia. A Thai soldier and four Cambodian civilians were killed in the renewed fighting as both sides accused each other of breaching a ceasefire deal brokered by President Trump in October. Earlier this year, at least 48 people were killed and 300,000 forced to flee their homes in the 5-day conflict. This is the spokesperson for the Cambodian Defense Ministry.
"The second invasion activity by the Thai side shows clearly their intention to grab their neighbor's land, using a unilateral map and using force to change borders."
And here in New York, the longtime peace activist Cora Weiss has died at the age of 91. After decades of advocacy demanding civil rights, nuclear disarmament, gender equality, and the abolition of war. In the 1960s, Cora Weiss was a national leader of Women's Strike for Peace, which played a major role in bringing about the end of nuclear testing in the atmosphere. She organized protests against the Vietnam War and served as president of the Hague Appeal for Peace. She was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize multiple times. Cora Weiss also served for decades on the board of Downtown Community Television. She last appeared on Democracy Now! In 2022.
Climate change and nuclear weapons are the apocalyptic twins, and we have to prevent one and get rid of the other. We have to abolish nuclear weapons immediately. There should be no question about it anymore. They're too dangerous and unnecessary. And who wants to destroy the world and the lives of everybody in it?
Cora Weiss's husband, Peter Weiss, the well-known human rights attorney, died several weeks ago, just shy of his 100th birthday. Cora Weiss died yesterday on Peter Weiss's 100th birthday. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
Well, Paramount has launched a hostile bid to take over Warner Brothers Discovery. Just days after Netflix announced an $83 billion deal to acquire Warner Studio and streaming assets, including HBO Max, Paramount's largest shareholder is Larry Ellison, one of the world's richest men and a close ally of President Trump. Paramount is attempting to fund the takeover of the Warner Brothers Discovery Company with funding from sovereign wealth funds from Saudi Arabia, Abu Dhabi, and Qatar, as well as Affinity Partners, the private equity fund led by Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law. Critics of media consolidation have warned against both Netflix's offer and Paramount's hostile bid. Actor and activist Jane Fonda, who recently relaunched her father's free speech organization from the 1940s, called the Committee for the First Amendment, published an op-ed in The Ankler last week, headlined, "The WBD deal puts Hollywood and democracy at risk." She writes further consolidation will mean, quote, fewer jobs, fewer opportunities to sell work, fewer creative risks, fewer news sources, and far less diversity in the stories Americans get to hear. And when only a handful of mega companies control the entire pipeline, they gain the power to steamroll every guild, SAG-AFTRA, the WGA, the PGA, the DGA, IATSE, everyone. Making it harder for workers to bargain, harder to stand up for themselves, and harder to make a living at all. The words of Jane Fonda. The future of Warner Brothers may rest in part in the hands of federal regulators who must approve any merger. On Sunday night, prior to Paramount's hostile bid, President Trump said Netflix-Warner merger, quote, could be a problem.
They have a very big market share. And when they have Warner Brothers, you know, that share goes up a lot. So I don't know. That's going to be for some economists to tell. And also, and I'll be involved in that decision, too. But it is a big market share. There's no question about that.
It could
be a problem.
Mr. President.
On Monday, after Paramount announced its hostile bid, President Trump was asked about the competing bids for Warner Brothers, including the involvement of his son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
I know the companies very well. I know what they're doing, but I have to see. I have to see what percentage of market they have. We have to see the Netflix percentage of market, Paramount, the percentage of market. I mean, none of them are particularly great friends of mine. You know, I want to do what's right. It's so very important to do what's right.
Paramount deal is supported by Jared Kushner, Mr. President. Would that impact your decision?
If Paramount is, I don't know. I've never spoken to him.
We're joined now by Craig Aaron, the co-CEO of Free Press and Free Press Action, two media reform organizations not to be confused with Barry Weiss's The Free Press, which is now owned by Paramount. Craig's most recent article is headlined Stop the Merger Madness. Free Press has also just published a new report headlined Chokehold, Donald Trump's War on Free Speech and the Need for Systemic Resistance. Craig, Aaron, welcome back to Democracy Now! If you can respond to all that has happened in just a matter of days, there was enormous criticism of Netflix bid. And now, of course, you have this hostile bid by none other than President Trump's son-in-law. Can you talk about all of this?
Absolutely. Good to be with you, Amy and Juan. This is really a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation where we have these giant companies trying to take control of even more of what we watch, see, hear, and read every day. So Netflix, of course, if they could get this deal done, would dominate online streaming. Paramount itself has a huge streaming business and, of course, is a major movie studio. So this is another situation where we're talking about giant companies merging, spending billions and billions of dollars, all the lawyers and bankers getting rich. But you don't have to look very far in the past to understand that media consolidation after media consolidation deal are disastrous for the workers in these industries. They're disastrous for the audience who see prices go up and choices go down. And pretty much every time, they're disastrous for the businesses as well. This is the third giant merger in recent time just to involve Warner Brothers. We'll go back to AOL Time Warner. We've had AT&T in Time Warner. All of these deals collapsing, falling apart, costing thousands and thousands of jobs. Warner Brothers Discovery itself, the product of failed mergers. And now we're being told we need more concentration, more consolidation. And we have to be asking ourselves, who does this serve? It seems to serve these executives. Maybe it serves Donald Trump. He seems very interested in competition for his favor, not very interested in actual competition when it comes to media, when it comes to entertainment.
And Craig, you mentioned Trump, this spectacle of the president saying he will be involved in the decision on this merger one way or the other. Forget about the fact that his son-in-law is a participant, obviously, in one of the bids. How frequently have presidents in the past directly involved themselves in these kinds of merger decisions where the FCC is involved?
Well, you know, certainly these are political fights, and so the White House might have a stake. They might have an interest in the outcome. But the idea that the president would be announcing that he's personally going to be involved, the idea that someone as close to the president as a member of his own family could be poised to benefit from a decision of the administration, this would be completely unthinkable. And even the way this whole decision is being made really does look like, you know, a mafia type situation, not anything that is recognizable in terms of policy making. Paramount and the Ellisons' entire argument for why they should be the company that wins this bidding war essentially boils down to Donald Trump likes us better. And they've been very clear in trying to win over Trump. That's why Jared Kushner is involved. They're trying to win over Trump. They're saying, we want to control CNN. We're going to make CNN better for you. Look what we've done at CBS, where we've muted 60 Minutes, where we've put Barry Weiss in charge of the news operation. This is their entire package and selling point to the administration, is that if they go with Paramount Skydance, then that's going to be good for Trump, because these media executives understand, unfortunately, that's how you get things done in the Trump era, is you appeal to the ego of Trump, you flatter Trump, and you try to line Trump's pockets or the pockets of those closest to him. That's how business gets done in the Trump era.
And what are the next steps here? What agencies do have to have oversight? And you mentioned Paramount, but isn't the head, the chief legal officer of Paramount, wasn't he the head of the antitrust division of the Justice Department during Trump's first term?
That's right, Juan. The revolving door is spinning. So Makan Del Rahim, who was the top antitrust enforcer under the first Trump administration. Now, of course, he's Paramount's top lawyer trying to work the system to get approval for their hostile takeover if it's announced. So there are a lot of things that are going to happen in the weeks ahead. I would remind folks that every time a merger is announced, all the companies involved want to treat it like it's a done deal, like it's about to be finished. That is not the case. That's just PR and spin. We're looking at least a year of evaluating this deal, and that's not even including the fact that there are multiple suitors here trying to appeal to the Warner Brothers board and now directly to their shareholders in a hostile takeover. But whatever deal Warner Brothers pursues, probably by the end of this month, by December 22nd, that would have to go before the Justice Department. That is going to be, I believe, who will review this deal at the federal level. Of course, the Justice Department is also not what it used to be, even when Del Rahim was there. You know, it has become a direct arm of the Trump administration, pursuing the Trump administration's political goals. But if they actually follow the law, of course, they would have to scrutinize this deal. And really, looking at the basics there, there's no way a deal like this should even be considered. Now, it's not just the Justice Department that will look here. State attorneys general could have a role that's very important. If you're the attorney general of California or New York, you should have a lot of interest in this, what is going to happen to this huge industry that is such a big part of your state. And this is a big enough deal that European regulators and others around the world are also going to be scrutinizing it, because it is such a ginormous multi-billion dollar deal between these huge companies that, you know, really will reshape the entertainment industry as we know it.
And I wanted to ask you about another merger under consideration, this one by the FCC. That's of Nexstar, the country's largest owner of TV stations, with a competitor, Tegna. Tell us, Nexstar is pretty well known as a very conservative company, isn't it?
That's right. And especially during the Trump administration, Nexstar has been collecting hundreds of television stations across the country in this wave of media consolidation. They are now going to the Federal Communications Commission and asking them to waive laws to actually overturn explicit instructions from Congress that limit the amount of television stations, the size of the audience one television chain can reach. They're trying to get that thrown out so they can take over Tegna. And they've done that again by appealing to the Trump administration, by promising to crack down on critical journalism, and by doing things like taking Jimmy Kimmel off the air. This was one of the companies, along with Sinclair Broadcasting, another very partisan broadcaster, that when the FCC chairman went on a podcast and started complaining about jokes Jimmy Kimmel was making about Charlie Kirk, it was Nexstar rushing to immediately yank him, pull him off the air, while having this multi-billion dollar deal before the FCC. So again, we have the media executives seeing that the way to get ahead in the Trump administration is appeal to Trump. We have the Trump administration abusing its power, really shaking down these companies, demanding loyalty, demanding they erase and eliminate their diversity and equity programs, and demanding that in some cases they pay off the administration through specious lawsuits, or maybe it's they offer big movie contracts to the president's wife or do favors for his son-in-law's equity firm. This is the way the Trump administration has been working. This is what they're pursuing to try to do a takeover of the media and make sure the mainstream dominant media is really only there to serve Trump. And you can see that in all of these deals. You know, over the weekend, Trump expressed skepticism of Netflix, but then when 60 Minutes interviewed Marjorie Taylor Greene, well, maybe he doesn't like CBS and Paramount so much anymore. This is the game they're playing. It's all about control and dominance and one narrative. And unfortunately, media executives in broadcast, in cable, in Hollywood, instead of fighting back against this infringement on free speech and freedom, have simply capitulated, hoping it will get their deals done.
Craig Aaron, I want to thank you for being with us, co-CEO of Free Press and Free Press Action. We'll link to your new report titled Chokehold: Donald Trump's War on Free Speech and the Need for Systemic Resistance. His new article is headlined Stop the Merger Madness. We'll link to it at democracynow.org. Next up, outcry is growing after the Trump administration drops free admission to national parks on the only two federal holidays honoring Black history, Juneteenth and Martin Luther King Day. Instead, the parks will be free on Donald Trump's birthday. Stay with us.